However, whenever there was a crisis in foreign parts, invariably he was called back to duty. As he was an extremely active and intelligent man for his age, he could not refuse. What he disliked most was leaving his daughter, Shana, alone in their country house. There were plenty of relatives who would have been only too willing to come and stay with her, but when her father was not at home, she preferred to be on her own. "I find them such a bore, Papa," she told him, "after being with you. If they are my female relations, they talk and talk about how wonderful it was when they were young, and that is of no interest to me at the moment." Her father had laughed. "Of course not. And I promise you, my darling, that as soon as my book is finished, we are going to London. I will give you a ball, and you will undoubtedly become the debutante of the season." Shana thought she would rather be an old one, as she was already nearing 19, but she did not want to upset her father by saying so. She was perfectly happy in their charming house in Hertfordshire. They had many well-bred horses to ride, and a large acreage of land to cultivate, and there were woods that she found entrancing. The garden was always a blaze of flowers, while in the winter they flourished in the greenhouses. Shana had been born when her father was an older man than most bridegrooms. He had been late in marrying because his political work kept him so busy. He had thought when finally he fell in love with the daughter of the Duke of Larrington that he would have a large family. Unfortunately, his wife, who was a widow, could only produce one child. It left her in such ill health that she died when Shana was only 15. Lord Hallam then devoted himself to his daughter, and she adored him. Because she had inherited her father's brain, she was able to help him work on his autobiography and his voluminous correspondence. Shana loved assisting him in the mornings, and she would help to supervise the farms on the estate, working for many hours in the large library. The last thing Lord Hallam wanted at the moment was to be asked to go abroad again. Yet, when the Prime Minister, Mr. Gladstone, went down on his knees to beg him to go to Paris on an urgent diplomatic mission, he found it impossible to refuse. "I will be back as soon as I can," he said to Shana as the carriage came to the door. "Take care of yourself, dearest Papa," sighed Shana, "and do not stay up too late at night." Lord Hallam groaned. "That is inevitable. There is no one who can talk more than the French, and they become even more voluble when it is dark than they do in the daytime." They both laughed, and then Shana saw her father into his carriage, which was a large and exceedingly comfortable one. She was just about to shut the door after kissing him goodbye when he bent forward. "Do not forget to give old Bob the tobacco I left for him. I know he is looking..." "I won't forget," Shana promised. She closed the carriage door herself, although there was a footman waiting to do it, and waved until her father was out of sight. With a deep sigh, she walked back into the house. There were beautiful flowers in the hall, and vases filled with them in the drawing room. The mere sight of flowers always made her feel happy. She told herself that while her father was away, she would have more time to spend in the garden. She would miss him so much. But at the same time, the old servants who had been with her family for years would look after her. She had grown used to being alone. She was, in fact, quite honest when she said that she did not really enjoy being with other people. Anyone looking at her would have thought it was an extraordinary statement from a girl who was so beautiful. Her mother had been a beauty in her time, and her father was a very handsome man. It was, therefore, not surprising that Shana had inherited much of their looks. Perhaps fate had added the rest. Her hair was her most unusual feature. Although it was very fair, there were touches of gold which shone in the sunshine, sometimes in a way that was almost blinding for those looking at her. Her eyes should have been blue, but instead they were the green and gold of a spring which ran through the gardens and into the small lake at the far end by the wall. She had a small heart-shaped face. There was something about Shana which made her stand out, not only from other girls of her age, but also from women who were much older. She loved reading and could play the piano extremely well.